Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service, and we will read text 18. Nashta Prayeshva Bhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavat Yutamashloke Bhaktir Bhavati Nashtaki. Translation: by regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Let us repeat this responsibly. Is that okay? Can repeat after me. By regular attendance in classes,
by regular attendance in classes,
on the Bhagavatam,
on the Bhagavatam,
and by rendering of service to the pure devotee,
and by rendering service to the pure devotee,
all that is troublesome to the heart,
all that is troublesome to the heart,
is almost completely destroyed,
is almost completely destroyed,
and loving service unto the personality of Godhead,
and loving service unto the personality of Godhead,
who is praised with transcendental songs,
who is praised with transcendental songs,
is established as an irrevocable fact.
It is established as an irrevocable fact.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is the remedy for eliminating all inauspicious things within the heart, which are considered to be obstacles in the path of self-realization. The remedy is the association of the Bhagavats. There are two types of Bhagavats, namely the book Bhagavat and the devotee Bhagavat. Both the Bhagavats are competent remedies, and both of them, or either of them, can be good enough to eliminate the obstacles. A devotee Bhagavat is as good as the book Bhagavat, because the devotee Bhagavat leads his life in terms of the book Bhagavat. And the book Bhagavat is full of information about the personality of Godhead and his pure devotees, who are also Bhagavats. Bhagavat book and person are identical. The devotee Bhagavat is a direct representative of Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. So, by pleasing the devotee Bhagavat, one can receive the benefit of the book Bhagavat. Human reason fails to understand how, by serving the devotee Bhagavat or the book Bhagavat, one gets gradual promotion on the path of devotion. But actually, these are facts explained by Srila Narada Dev, who happened to be a maidservant's son in his previous life. The maidservant was engaged in the menial service of the sages, and thus he also came into contact with them. And simply by associating with them and accepting the remnants of foodstuff left by the sages, the son of the maidservant got the chance to become the great devotee and personality, Srila Naradade. These are the miraculous effects of the association of Bhagavats. And to understand these effects practically, it should be noted that by such sincere association of the Bhagavats, one is sure to receive transcendental knowledge very easily, with the result that he becomes fixed in the devotional service of the Lord. The more progress is made in devotional service under the guidance of the Bhagavats, the more one becomes fixed in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. The messages of the book Bhagavat, therefore, have to be received from the devotee Bhagavat. And the combination of these two Bhagavats will help the neophyte devotee to make progress on and on. Nashtabrayeshvabhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavat yutamashloke bhaktir bhavati nashtaki. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is almost completely destroyed, and loving service unto the personality of Godhead, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. O Yanatmaranas Yagyananjana Shalakaya, Chakshon Nathamiena Tasma Sri Gurudeva, Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutana, Swayam Rupika Dharmayam Dadati Svabhadatikam, Vanchakabhutarubhyas Jagripas Sindhu Vyavacha, Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaura Bhaktivedanta. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So this is continuing on from the verse we read yesterday. And as we explained yesterday, gradually each verse is taking us step by step higher up the ladder of Krishna consciousness, stage by stage progressing to higher and higher levels. There are nine. Prema is the highest. Shraddha is the beginning. In the middle, the fifth one, right in the middle, is Nishtha. This is what is being described here. Even the actual word itself is used in the verse. Very last word. Bhaktir, poverty, Naishtiki. Naishtiki is based on this word, Nishtha, and the translation in the word for word is irrevocable. Irrevocable means fixed. That's it. That's the way it is. You're not going to come back tomorrow and find it's something else. It's there. Permanent. So like we were saying yesterday, it's a very important point. In one sense, it's a very encouraging point, is that in a certain sense, all you have to do is come to the level of Nishtha. That takes some doing. It's not just easy, you just do it. But all you do, you come to that level, and you work hard, and you do what it takes to come to that level, this level of being fixed, irrevocable, devotional service. And then from that point, that middle point, then it becomes very easy. Because all the obstacles are removed. And what, if not all the obstacles, but at least, as the verse says, all that is troublesome to the heart, the obstacles, is almost completely destroyed. It's practically done. So from that point on, it is, on one hand, very much simpler and easier, and on the other hand, it is just getting nicer and nicer and nicer. Even we have some experience of when things are nice, things are going well, we are happy, and it is just, life is good. But this niceness from nishta, ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, this niceness, it makes that niceness which we may have experienced, and we've all experienced some niceness in our lives, but it makes that look like something insignificant. Narottama Das Thakur uses the term tuccha. Kabe tuccha abe. He's referring to material enjoyment. In that particular context, he's saying, when, kabe tuccha abe. When will it become just like insignificant? So on that level, from that level of nishta onwards, we were saying that whatever experience of niceness one has experienced before, it becomes just like something very small compared to what one is experiencing now at that time. And on the other hand, and it is in a corresponding way, like they are linked, how the developments take place. The happiness is increasing, just like beyond what we've experienced, way beyond that. On the other hand, material life and its so-called pleasures are just looking tuccha. Kabe tuccha habe. Just like, you know, why did I bother with that? Sometimes, isn't it? We get into some situation and we think, oh, this is good. But then later we realize that was not good. And we think, why did I do that? Or even, you know, children bless their little hearts, particularly the devotee children. But sometimes they think that some things are of such importance, just extreme importance. I was flying. I was about to fly. I was sitting on an aeroplane. We were waiting to take off in Durban, South Africa. And immediately, how do you go? Well done, thank you. He did it very nicely. Sitting in the row in front of me was a young mother with her child who was sort of 3 years old or in that vicinity. Just a little child. But he could talk quite effectively. So there they are sitting down, the boy sitting by the window. And next to us, there's, you know, the other planes there waiting. Next to us was a red plane. The boy was looking out the window. He said, "Mama, I want to go on the red plane." And the mother said, "No, we're going on this plane." He said, "Mama, I want to go on the red plane." And she's trying to explain that, you know, it's okay. Some other time we'll go on the red plane. He said, Mama, I want to go on the red plane. And before, you know, within seconds, it was a crisis. It was just devastation. I want to go on the red plane. So as adults, we see that and we think, oh, come on, you know. When you're in the plane, you can't even see if it's a red one or a white one or a blue one. But it's just the mind, small mind of a child. Of course, they have the potential and they become adults and their minds develop. But at that point, it's just, you know, things assume such importance. But as an adult, you can see, ah, it's nothing, don't worry about it. Another time, just recently, I was in Russia. We're having a festival, and two children, again, like 3 years old, one little boy, he had two toy horses, little plastic horses, and one little girl, same age, just walked up to him like face to face, and looking in his face, looking at the horses, looking at his face, looking at the horses, and she just stuck her hand out. He's holding the horses, one in each hand. She just grabbed a horse. He wouldn't let go. But then his mother came and said, look, you know, said something. Let her have a horse, you've got to. So he let her have a horse. Now they each have one horse. But the girl, it was not enough. She came back up to him, looking at his face, looking at the other horse. She wanted the other horse. So she grabbed the other horse and just ripped it out of his hand. And the poor little boy, wow, it was like it was the end of the world. He just broke down. But as adults, we can see, you know, what is a stupid little plastic horse anyway? It's just, it's nothing. So Tucha, as an adult, we can see certain things which, for a child, they're very important. But as adults, we can see, well, this is nothing. We don't need to worry. So, yes, as one progresses in Krishna consciousness, one experiences more and more transcendental pleasure in devotional service. And then compared to that, all the pleasures that one had previously, eat, drink, and be merry, and all these things, buy things, and watch movies, and all these types of things, as the devotee progresses, it just becomes like nothing. And the devotee questions, how was I ever interested in that? What made me think it was nice? So, this means we're progressing in devotional service, which is very good, it's very important. We discussed yesterday, well, there are the two preceding verses which are leading up step by step to this point. In the first one, the point was made that we have to serve the devotee, particularly the pure devotees. We have to serve the spiritual master, and we have to serve all the devotees, actually, ultimately. And if we do that, Krishna becomes pleased, because the devotees are very dear to Krishna. And when Krishna is pleased with you, he reciprocates. And what does he do? That verse said, Vasudeva Kata Ruchi. Krishna gives you a taste for hearing about him. Many people might think, what's important about that? But it's extremely important to get a taste for hearing and chanting about Krishna, so that whenever we pick up our beads to chant, we feel excited that, oh, this is wonderful. Now I can chant. Or as Srila Prabhupada said, good quality chanting means that when you finish 16 rounds, you think, why just 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? This is good quality chanting. Not that we finish our rounds, 16 rounds, we look at our counting beads, well, I finished. Bang, we put our beads down and we think, good. Good, I finished. At least if you finish, that's not bad. It's good. It's the beginning of good. It's the beginning of what is really good. At least if you finish. But really good means that you don't want to stop. And really, really good means you can't stop. Lord Chaitanya was on his way to the bathroom. He was holding his tongue between his fingers. And one little boy, Gopal, a 5-year-old boy, asked Lord Chaitanya, "My Lord, why are you holding your tongue?" Lord Chaitanya said, "I am going to the bathroom. And the problem is, my tongue will not start chanting. It will not stop chanting Hare Krishna. And Krishna is not different from his name. So if I chant in the bathroom where it is dirty and so on, Krishna will have to be exposed to that. That's not nice. Therefore I'm holding my tongue to make sure it doesn't chant, so I don't offend Krishna." And Gopal told Lord Chaitanya, "My Lord, it's okay, you don't have to worry about it. In Shastra, it says that at the time of death, you have to chant. You must chant. And the time of death is the most contaminated time. The worst time is worse than the bathroom." So this Gopal said that to Lord Chaitanya and said, "So it's okay, my Lord, you can chant. You can chant." So Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, Gopal, thank you so much. You convinced me." And Lord Chaitanya said, "Gopal, from today on, you're my guru." So Gopal became known as Gopal Guru. And he's a very famous devotee in our line. You'll find his name there. Yes, so when, you know, as you're beginning to make a little progress, not too much, we shouldn't start patting ourselves on the back too much, but at least it's something. We're chanting 16 rounds a day. Good. And, you know, even though it's a challenge, we do it. Even though sometimes gets a little late and we look at our counting beads, "Oh no, I have 4 more rounds to do." But still we do it. So that's good. That is just the beginning of good. When things really start to get good, then you just want to carry on. Why not? Why just 16 rounds? Why not 16,000? And when things get really excellent, then you can't stop chanting. So anyway, Krishna, within the heart, reciprocates with the efforts of the devotees to serve the devotees. This is why Prabhupada so much stressed, if you read his books and listen to his classes and so on, he so much stressed serving the spiritual master. Because when we serve the devotees, Krishna becomes pleased. He appreciates so much, and he gives you a taste. And then the next verse, which we read yesterday, it says that Krishna then cleanses the desire for material enjoyment from the heart of the devotee who has such a taste. So Krishna gives you the taste. If you hang on to it and work on it and try and develop it, then you get, it develops, you get more taste, and as you get more taste, Krishna reciprocates. Krishna, who gave you the taste, cleanses those material things from your heart. This is the stage of anathanivritti. There's so many unwanted things in the heart. The mind, well, you all have minds, so I don't think I need to tell you that the mind is sort of problematic, am I right? Yeah, the mind is problematic. And it's prone to become attached, attracted, and repulsed. You know, become disturbed, angry about things, some things. It's a nightmare. So, but as we carry on, this brings us to this verse. By regular attendance in classes on the Bhagavatam and by rendering of service to the pure devotee, all these things are practically destroyed. And then you come to the level, or you have come to the level of nishtha. Now you're fixed. And from now on, it is something like, you know, if you have to climb up a hill, it's a struggle, you have to work hard. But then you get to the top. And then you just, going down is much easier, usually. So it becomes like that. And again, the same point, by regularly hearing the classes on the Bhagavatam, or in other words, hearing about Krishna, Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna, chanting his holy names, becoming absorbed in the spiritual sun vibration, and by service to the pure devotees. It's the same thing. In the beginning, you made progress, you started getting a taste because you were rendering service to the devotees. Now, as you've made some progress and you're becoming, you know, you're actually getting somewhere, but it depends on the same things. It depends on the same things. Hearing and chanting about Krishna and serving the pure devotees. So, there's one, a class of Srila Prabhupada's on this verse. There's a number of classes. Srila Prabhupada raises a very interesting question. Here, two Bhagavats are mentioned, the book Bhagavat, Srimad Bhagavatam, and the devotee Bhagavat. So, Srila Prabhupada raises the question, of the two, which is more important? What do we say? They're just both equally important. Or is one more important than the other? Prabhupada raises this question. You know what the answer is? Or what answer Prabhupada gave? Person Bhagavat is more important. Why? Srila Prabhupada gave one of his typically you know, wonderful, amazing answers. Prabhupada said, because the person Bhagavat can pull your ear. The book Bhagavat, if you're reading something and you don't like it, you can just close it and put it down. You know, something like that. But you can't do that to the devotee. You know, the devotee says something you don't like, you can try and get away. Say, oh look, you know, I'm busy, see you later. He can call you on your telephone and continue telling you, or something like that. So Prabhupada said like that, the person Bhagavat is more important because he can pull your ear. In other words, he can very nicely, but in a pointed way, get on your case. Are you familiar with this term? Get on your case. Yeah, sort of pursue you and keep on you. Have you done it? Not yet. Well, do it. Have you done it yet? Well, then you feel you better do it. Sooner or later, you get the idea you better do it, and he keeps on you. So Srila Prabhupada elsewhere was talking about, it's in a class, Prabhupada is talking about how the sadhus, particularly the spiritual master in relation to the disciples, but the sadhus in general, they don't let the devotees just go. Don't just say some words, oh, you should chant Hare Krishna, then say goodbye. In so many cases, they keep pursuing you. You should chant Hare Krishna. Okay, well, goodbye. Have you started? Are you chanting Hare Krishna? So they keep on you. Sadhu, one translation of this word sadhu is a person who cuts. A person who cuts our material attachments, cuts away the unwanted things, so only the Krishna consciousness is left. Krishna consciousness is already there, in one sense, because we're all eternal servants of Krishna, but it's covered by other things. So sadhu means someone who can cut away the other things. So anyway, Srila Prabhupada was saying that the spiritual master, one of his main businesses is to chastise the disciples. And Prabhupada, and not to flatter them. And Srila Prabhupada says there, son and disciple should not be flattered. Patted on the head. Oh, you're so nice. They should be chastised. I mean, it doesn't mean arbitrarily, just sort of whimsically chastised. And certainly not in an angry, material angry way. But the duty is to cut and help to get rid of the unwanted things. Srila Prabhupada told the story of how he was in a class given by Srila Bhaktisiddhanta. And it was a situation like this, or more people even, but in a sort of largish room like this. And Srila Prabhupada was right at the back. And sitting next to him was one elderly devotee whose hearing was not good. So every now and then, that elderly devotee would turn to Srila Prabhupada and ask him, what did he say? They're sitting right at the back. And Prabhupada would turn to him and say, well, he said this and this and this. and then give his attention back to the class. But Srila Bhaktisiddhanta did not appreciate this. And in the middle of the class, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta stopped. Silence. And he pointed to Srila Prabhupada. You, Babu. Now you can imagine everyone now just looking at Srila Prabhupada. It might be 50 or 100 devotees. Everyone's looking at Prabhupada. You, Babu, would you like to speak? Would you like to come here and speak? Can you imagine how embarrassing it would be for you if it happened? And you know, Prabhupada was just trying to be nice. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't trying to chat during the class. He was just trying to help that elderly devotee. But still. So, and Srila Prabhupada said that he appreciated that so much. Not that he got angry or disturbed. I was just trying to help him. That's all I was doing. I was not trying to create a disturbance. Why did he speak to me like that? You know, it's just not right. But he never said anything like that at all. But Prabhupada said he would from time to time afterwards remember that experience. And Prabhupada said, I treasured that moment. Like one of these things which happen in our lives. And from time to time we like to just sit down and remember it. Wow, that was good. And just enjoy it in our lives. So Prabhupada said he treasured that moment. Yes. So the person Bhagavat then is very important because he can pull your ear. If you want your ear pulled. If you don't want your ear pulled. You know, if you would rather remain in what we call a comfort zone. Do you understand this term? Comfort zone. Where you feel that everything is good. Actually, everything is not good because you're in Maya. But you feel everything is good. It's just feelings. We're talking about feelings. And feelings should often not be taken too seriously. Prabhupada gave the example of the ostrich. In South Africa, we have ostriches. They didn't wipe them out as they did the dodos here, apparently. And the ostriches, you know, the dodos, from what I heard, they were just so innocent and nice, maybe you could say nice, and so offenseless that they would just stand there and people could just walk right up to them and they wouldn't go running away or, you know, panic or anything like that. That the ostrich had a technique of dealing with danger. The ostrich puts his head in a hole in the ground when the lion is coming. The ostrich does not run. He puts his head in a hole, and in the hole, you know, then there's no lion. This is his defense strategy. And so the ostrich thinks, oh, that's good. I'm safe now. Until, you know, in a few seconds or whatever, bang, and that's the end. So it's a comfort zone. You feel good. It's okay. Actually, it's not okay. But just in your sort of deluded condition, it feels okay or looks okay or seems okay, but it's not okay. So that is the danger of a comfort zone. So if you want to remain in a not very Krishna conscious comfort zone, where you can happily do various things which, you know, in the classes the devotees say you shouldn't do, and, you know, not do certain things the devotees say you should do, but still feel okay in your comfort zone, then watch out for the Bhagavats. Watch out for the person Bhagavat particularly. Well, then, you know, it could be argued you don't need a spiritual master. Prabhupada expressed it this way sometimes, that if you don't want to give up meat-eating, intoxication, illicit sex life, gambling, if you don't want to give up those things, if you don't want to give up Shah Rukh Khan and company, if you don't want to give them up, you want to keep these things, or some of them, or any of them, as part of your life in your comfort zone, then you don't need a spiritual master. In fact, you don't actually want a spiritual master, because he will tell you to give those things up, but you want to keep them. So you'll end up thinking, you know, this person is a nuisance. He keeps telling me to give up these things I don't want to give up. And so, you know, who needs someone like that in their lives, kind of interfering with the things you want to do? There was one story, I don't know if I ever told it here. I mean, it's perhaps slightly on a different slant, but very closely connected. There was one man, kind of elderly, and he had a wife, and she had a tongue like a razor blade. You understand? You get the message. That she would just go at him all day. What about this? What about that? And he had to just... There was nothing he could do. So one day she died. They're having the funeral. She was in the coffin. This is like a Christian situation. So after the service, they're carrying the coffin out of the church. They're going to bury it. Put it in the ground. But there was one pillar. Just somehow it was stuck in the middle of the church. And as they're carrying out the coffin, the coffin banged against the pillar. Bang, whack. And, you know, it was a bit of a shock. Suddenly, from inside the coffin, they heard these sort of scratching sounds. Something's going on inside. And then they heard this woman's voice. They opened up the coffin. She had come back to life. Somehow that bang. Anyway, this is what the story says. So she remained alive for a few more years. And that the husband, it was the same thing. What are you doing about this? Why don't you do that? And he was just fried, as they say. Then she died again. So now they're back in the same church having another funeral for her. So at the end they pick up the coffin, they're walking out, and the husband calls out, "Watch out for that pillar!" It's just a joke. Don't be offended. But the point is that people only need a spiritual master if they want, if they really want to get out of their comfort zone and really make progress. Making progress means into areas you are not familiar with, to experience things you have not really experienced before. Even it includes to give up some things you may not have considered giving up, or you may not have wanted to give up. You know, so it's like this, you're going into another realm. And this is, of course, this is Krishna consciousness. And we should have that faith. We should have that faith that even though I'm not really directly familiar with what it really means to make progress and to be closer to Krishna and to become free from certain things, but we should have that faith that, like, I have come so far in Krishna consciousness, maybe not that far, but I've come some little way in Krishna consciousness, and it has been good. So if I go further, it will also be good. Therefore, let me go further. That sort of faith we need to have. And then the person, Bhagavat, can really help us. Yes, so, person Bhagavat, of course, they have to be an actual person Bhagavat, not just, you know, some mixed type of condition, but a real person Bhagavat who has taken the message of the Bhagavatam into his heart, really into his heart, and is really giving the message of the Bhagavat, and is also giving it in such a way that I personally, as an individual, taking into consideration my consciousness, my particular, the condition I'm in. So the person Bhagavat can help us in that individual way. Whereas the book Bhagavat, in a certain sense, it's more general. General principles. But the person Bhagavat can give that individualized assistance, guidance like that. So this is very nice. If we regularly attend the classes on the Bhagavatam, if we really get into hearing and chanting about Krishna, and we really serve the devotees, and particularly the spiritual master, then Krishna within the heart will remove practically everything. 90%. So then your progress becomes so easy and so nice, and it is just ecstatic. So this is Krishna consciousness. Therefore, we should make every effort to get out of anathanavritti. It would be said generally that the majority of you, because you're all practicing devotees, of course I know some are on higher levels, some are on lower levels, but still, you're all practicing devotees. Therefore, at least you're on the level of Bhajana Kriya. Bhajana Kriya means rendering devotional service, performing devotional activities. At least you're on that level, regularly applying yourself to the process. Others who may not really be applying themselves systematically, you know, they just like to come to the programs and do this and do that. And when there's a festival, oh, great, yes. And even some of them, you know, Sunday program, right. What time is prasadam? And then they come just before. Now, we do notice that when the Sunday class begins, there are a lot less people than when it finishes. So that's maybe more sadhu sangha level. Yeah, just associating. But bhajana kriya means the person has made that decision, right? I'm going to be a devotee. And I'm going to practice devotional service. Prabhupada, in one place at least, or a few places, Prabhupada says, this is more or less around the time a person accepts a spiritual master. Or even once, at least once Prabhupada said, the time of initiation, because the devotee vows, okay, I will do these things. But at the very least, it means that the devotee is committed. I'm going to be a devotee. I'm going to practice Krishna consciousness. And then Krishna starts revealing those things you have to, the anathas which are there in the heart. And then you go into the stage of anatha nivritti, removing the unwanted things. So let us work on it, serving the devotees, particularly the spiritual master, and hearing and chanting about Krishna. Really trying to hear and chant about Krishna attentively and avoiding offenses. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comment or question? Yes,
Prabhu. Could you please explain how a disciple can serve his spiritual master besides following the four eighty principles that are in 16 rounds?
Okay. Yes, that's a good point. How can the disciple to serve the spiritual master beyond just chanting their rounds and following the regulative principles? Well, every devotee should have some service. What that service may be depends on, you know, a couple of factors, like how much time they have and what needs to be done and what they can do. But every devotee should have some service, some regular service, I mean. So, you know, for example, if a devotee is living in a temple, then they have the whole day. So then, under the direction of the authorities, temple authorities, they should do what is requested of them in terms of the temple activities and the preaching activities. If the devotee is not living in a temple but is living at home and working, or, you know, maybe a housewife or maybe a student, something like that, but basically home-based, then depending on how much time they have and the service opportunities available, then they should also connect up with the authorities and find out, what service can I do in terms of my situation, and then do it. Do it nicely. Also, one devotee asked me, I mean, numerous devotees have asked me over the years, but I remember the first time, particular situation, devotee asked me, how can I serve my spiritual master? It was a disciple of an ISKCON guru. What can I do? What service can I do? What should I do? What will please him? So my response was, why don't you ask him? So, Now, if you have a spiritual master, you can ask him, what would you like me to do? And you can discuss. You know, if maybe you would like to do something, there's nothing necessarily wrong if you have some inspiration. I would like to serve in a particular way, do a particular thing. So these things can be discussed. And with the spiritual master. And, you know, generally, the spiritual master will not just give you some service, tell you, you must do this, without consulting with the temple authorities. Like, tell you, you must cook for the deities, when already there are too many people cooking for the deities, and it's just not going to really be practical. In Durban, South Africa, the last I saw, they had about 200 people on the list to cook for the deities. In a month, there are only 180 offerings. So maybe a person could cook one offering a month. So it wouldn't be practical to tell the devotee, you must make this your service. You cook for the deities. So like this, the spiritual master and the authorities can work out some practical program of service. But the basic point is one should get some service. You know, if one is so busy maintaining one's family and all that all one can do is chant 16 rounds and follow the regulative principles and come on Sunday in time for the feast sometimes. and sometimes there's not even time for that. If the devotee is that busy, then they have the wrong job, they should get another job, or they should organize their time better. But devotees should have time. Prabhupada would say simple living and high thinking. Have time so they can do some regular service. Take on a responsibility to do some particular service for Krishna beyond just the basics. Is that okay? Anyone else? Any other comment? Yes, Prabhu? Right.
So, we should be regular also in our bhajana kriya.
We should be?
Studying bhajana kriya.
Okay.
So it's often that many times we are not studying bhajana kriya because of anatta.
Right.
So, how can we be fixed in our bhajana?
Okay. Yes, so how can we be fixed in our bhajana? So that we can get through anatta nivritti. In simple terms, this verse was making the point by regular attendance in the classes on the Bhagavatam. But not just limited to that, it includes chanting our rounds and taking part in kirtan. By being absorbed in transcendental sound vibration, and by rendering service to the spiritual master and to the devotees, then those unwanted things are gradually removed. And then one comes really to the level of nishtha. So every devotee then must make a program for that, for doing those things. Every devotee should make a program. You know, by that I mean, it can even mean, and it's good, if you can actually make a schedule. for your day, every day. One devotee was telling me yesterday that she is just into this program of getting up at 3:30 every morning to chant. Right. And she was benefiting so much from it. So we should try and organize our lives systematically in order to facilitate hearing and chanting about Krishna. Means not just getting our 16 rounds done somehow and whenever we can before we sleep. Not just that, although that is the minimum, but really it means making a program so you can chant your rounds and study some shastra every day when you're at your best, when you're feeling, you know, the clearest in mind and you're able to really focus on these things. So we should make a program like that. And like we were saying, get some service. You know, if you're a family person, then you would have to work out, you know, that something's suitable in terms of your circumstances, so it's not too much or too little, something appropriate. And some service, some meaningful service, which you can really absorb yourself in, productive service. So we should try and structure our lives like that. And not become, you know, one of the unfortunately many devotees who, you know, when it's at work, when it's tea break for 15 minutes, I zip into the car park and chant around somehow. You know, when no one's watching in the office, I whip out my clicker and I click off a few mantras because I've got to get them done somehow. And finally, at the end of the day, we come home, we're finished. But somehow, in between falling asleep, we chant a few rounds to finish 16. And it takes us an hour to do four rounds because we're so tired. You know, not that sort of program. Progressive Krishna consciousness means that we structure our lives, including everything, including our work or whatever, studies if we're students. But we do structure our lives so our Krishna consciousness gets the attention it deserves. How does that sound? In principle. Yeah, if we start looking at our lives more like that, rather than just kind of our lives are just going on and, you know, we just get up when we get up. When we're down, we're down. When we're up, we're up. And when we're up, we chant and somehow we get our rounds done, and we shouldn't live like that, because then you won't really progress. Then at best you'll hang in there, which is better than falling. But at best then you're going to just be there somewhere. But actually we want to progress, we want to really advance and make the most of this opportunity and get the most nectar from Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we will finish here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.